and Eric has been harassing me all winter, but we finally have another podcast going with your favorite ATL All Day writers, Eric Graff, Brad Stein, Drew Wilburn, and yours truly, Carlos Collazo. And today it's going to be Braves baseball talk with the fellas. So I guess let's just jump right into it. First topic is Greg Maddux entering the Hall of Fame without a logo. Anyone want to just kick this off? What are your thoughts on that decision? It kind of stirred up a lot of the Braves fans on Twitter in the past few days. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, you know what? I did some soul searching on this, and I'm okay with this. He spent 10 years with the Braves. He spent 10 years with the Cubs as well. Although the years with the Cubs were split up and his best seasons were with the Braves, he was also drafted by the Cubs, and I think it's completely fair that he, if he wants a no logo on his hat, I think it's perfectly fair. He's earned that right.
Eric, Brad.
Eric, go ahead, buddy.
I kind of voiced my opinion on Twitter last night and had some interesting responses. As a Braves fan, I'm not that happy about it. You know, he's associated with the Braves, in my opinion, more than the Cubs. Won 3 of his 4 Cy Youngs with the Braves, won a World Series with the Braves, pitched during his prime with the Braves. He can do what he wants, and that's cool, but it just kind of lets me down a little as a Braves fan. I was saying to somebody last night how it kind of puts him behind Glavine and Maddux for me. Glavine and Smoltz, sorry, as far as like all-time Braves, just for the simple fact that he seemed to not really care as much. You know, those two will go into Cooperstown as Braves, and I know they didn't play for other team as much, but that's just kind of my opinion.
Brad, do you have any thoughts on that? Or?
Honestly, I mean, this was his choice, and he has every right. I have to agree with Drew. He has every right to not put a logo on his thing. He pitched 10 years with the Cubs and 10 years with the Braves. It's his choice. He said both cities meant so much to him, and it's almost out of respect that he did not pick a single team over another. So, it's his choice. I have no problem with it. I'll probably never see it in going up to Cooperstown. So,
buy that. That's weak.
I'm kind of right with Brad.
Wade Boggs wanted to put Tampa Bay on his.
Yeah,
he played for that for like a year. It's just
it's just individual. Like it's his choice. He was the pitcher. He's the one that has the Hall of Fame career. So, I don't really think it's fair for everyone to start spouting off about, well, he should have a Braves logo on his hat when he goes in the Hall of Fame because he pitched well. Who knows really how he felt with each team? He could have hated Atlanta. For all we know, obviously doesn't because he says he has respect for both cities. But, he's the one that pitched the Hall of Fame career, and I think in the end it's his name on the plaque. So I don't really mind it. I think most people, when they think of Greg Maddux, they think of the Braves anyways, so it doesn't really bug me. I can see how Braves fans maybe get offended because he was so dominant with Atlanta and he went on Cy Youngs with Atlanta, but, again, it's his career. So, it doesn't really bug me.
Right. No, I agree with you all. It is his choice, and that's fine. It just, as a Braves fan, is just a little disappointing.
Yeah. All right. How about Bobby Cox and Tom Glavine? They're both going to be in the Hall of Fame with Greg Maddux, obviously. They're going to have Atlanta Braves logos with their caps. So do you guys have any thoughts about those two or those three going in altogether? It's kind of cool.
I have a quick thought that I really wish Smoltz would have retired a year earlier.
Yeah, that would have been awesome to see those three.
With as many players as we just had, he might not have got in on first ballot if that would have been the case. But
that's actually an interesting question. Do you guys think John Smoltz will get in on first ballot? Do you think he would have if he was in this class, and do you think he will get in first ballot with his class?
All right, who all is eligible next year?
You gotta assume Big Gio will probably get it next year.
Yeah, he was pretty close. He's probably locked. Well, anyways, I guess, did you guys ever think that Glavin might not put a logo on his hat because he played with other teams as well, or do you think it was kind of obvious he was going to be going into Atlanta?
If he didn't put the Braves logo on his hat, that would have been, yeah, I'd have written him off. That was, that would be completely ridiculous.
Yeah. But what anyway, it'll be cool to see them all inducted.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be awesome. Bobby, so. I'm still kind of considering maybe, I mean, if I was ever going to go, it'd be a good time to do it. I'm sure I probably won't, but I'm still kind of in the back of my mind. I'm like, maybe I'll try to make a trip up there, but who knows? I'm sure I probably won't.
Brad, do you have anything?
It's awesome to see all three of them going in together.
I just think it's awesome that, like Eric said, that all three of them are going in together. You know, I wish Smoltz, like Eric said, wished he'd retire. So all of them, because they were kind of the staple in the 90s. I mean, when you've got Smoltz, Glavin, Maddox, and then Bobby Cox, I mean, those are your four staples of the Braves, of Braves baseball right there. I'm more excited for Bobby Cox because he kind of brought back Atlanta baseball. I mean, let's admit it. The Braves were just a terrible team, and then along came Bobby and turned them into a perennial powerhouse. So I'm more excited for Bobby than any of those guys. And I'm not saying like I'm not stoked for them, but at the end of the day, I'm more excited for Bobby than I am Glavin or Maddox and company.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. I guess. Actually, now I think I want to transition into the arbitration hearing because we're talking about three legendary Atlanta Braves figures going into the Hall of Fame. And meanwhile, today we've got three of our core players headed into arbitration hearings. With Jason Hayward, he wants $5.5 million from the Braves. Freddie Freeman's asking for $5.75, and Craig Kimbrell, which is really going to be the most interesting arbitration case across the board in Major League Baseball, really, is asking for $9 million. I mean, what are your thoughts on just the arbitration process? And I guess the core players of our team, their futures are looking a little iffy right now, aren't they?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I'd have to go, if I had to choose between signing two of those three, the first guy is on my list is Craig Kimbrell, without a doubt in my mind. He's been as a dominant closer, and for the Braves to lose that kind of guy would be absolutely just I cannot think of another closer in the Braves bullpen right now that says, okay, that's going to fill the hole for Craig Kimbrell. The second guy is obviously Freddie Freeman because he's played extremely well his whole time. He's been up here. I feel like I would be okay with losing Jason Hayward given the fact that a couple of years weren't exactly what everyone thought it would be, but he kind of turned it up in that last season once the Upton brothers came along. This decision is hard, but if I had to choose two out of three, I'm going with Freeman and Kimbrell.
Okay, let's take a step back and just I guess get your guys' thoughts on who's going to win these arbitration cases, because all three of them are going to be with the team for the next season at least, unless one of them gets traded in the middle of the year. They're going to be signed. It just depends on how much. Right, do you guys think you have any idea of who's going to win? I think Kimbrell's obviously, I have no idea because his is unprecedented. I think Freeman's got a really good shot of winning his, and I think the Braves are actually going to win Hayward's because they're only off $300,000, and Hayward really has been injured so much, and he's performed really poorly at certain periods of time. So, I guess, what are your opinions on just the arbitration cases? Who do you think's going to win?
Yeah, I think the Braves will definitely win Hayward's. You know, they were already giving him an offer over what everybody expected it to be anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole deal is pretty odd, only having a $300,000 gap and them not being able to come to an agreement.
Yeah, and it really kind of made me mad. I don't know if mad is the right word, but I was a little thrown off when people kept ragging on the Braves for not agreeing because of $300,000, and I was like, well, Hayward is also not agreeing because of just $300,000. And if you look at it from the Braves' perspective, they really have they don't have money. They have to be extremely stringent with what they're doing, and they already have two big contracts that they have to work around. They've got tons of players coming into arbitration now that they're going to have to decide to lock up, and I think it's a little unfair to say that they're not committing to those players in the future by not agreeing to $300,000 when it's already known that the Braves went to both Hayward and Freddie Freeman to try and work out a contract extension, but both of them just turned the Braves down. So I think it's a little unfair for them to knock the Braves with that, but yeah, I definitely think they're going to win his case.
I agree with you. You know, Hayward, I think, honestly, Braves fans should prepare themselves because next year is going to probably be Hayward's last year as a Brave. He's been pretty unwilling to talk, and quite honestly, I don't think the Braves are going to shell out big bucks to keep him with his injuries and his slumps, and, you know, a lot of that stuff was freakish and not his fault, but he still just hasn't been in the lineup a lot, and he's great, and he's probably going to have a great future, but honestly, I'd rather have Freeman going forward is a little bit more of a sure thing. I mean, people bring up the fielding and the running and the, you know, advanced stats, but, you know, you look at the games, and Freeman just was much more valuable to the team this year, in my opinion. I think he'll definitely win his case. Kimbrel is going to be the odd one. I really think Kimbrel might win his case, even though it's an outrageous number, because the Braves, quite frankly, I didn't think they went high enough. You know,
yeah, they only went $250,000 of those Papel bonds. I think that's what it was.
I think it was like below Papel bonds, wasn't it?
I thought it was a little higher than Papel bonds. We can check that real quick, but either way, keep going.
I thought it might have even been below. That's why I was kind of shocked that they would even try to go below it. I mean, I could see if it was a little above it that they might win it, but his case is so unique. Really, anything wouldn't surprise me at this point with that.
Going through player by player, of course, Hayward, the $300,000 thing, as we mentioned, is concerning for the future. Honestly, $300,000, I don't know or really care who wins that. I just think it's going to be a problem moving forward. And I think that in the future, with Hayward's upside, but the lack of production, I think he'll be wanting more money than the Braves will be willing to pay him. But somebody will be paying him that money.
The thing is, other teams have enough money to where they can comfortably take that risk.
Right.
The Braves can't really afford. Yeah, they can't really afford to miss with another long contract extension because they've already really missed with Dan Ogles and B.J. Upton. So obviously,
hold on here. You're only comparing B.J. Upton after one season.
Well,
he will get progressively better. I promise you that.
You can't get much worse. So.
Well, yeah, you're right about that. But I mean, let's get real here for a second. I mean, this is his first year playing in the National League, where it's a completely different ballgame. You can't argue that than the AL.
You could also argue that the National League pitching is weaker than American League pitching, and he was also playing American League East, which is known for its top tier pitching. I don't know if you agree with that or not. Is up to you, but. I don't know. I think if anything, the transition from NL to AL would be more difficult for batters. Go ahead.
Well, like I was saying, I mean, did the Braves miss on Dan Ogles? Possibly, yes. I mean, he hasn't quite put up the numbers like he did when he was in Florida or Miami or whatever they call themselves this week. So I feel like the Braves, yes, they missed Dan Ogles. They completely swung and missed, to use the baseball pun. They might have hit something with B.J. Upton. It all depends on what his next couple of years turn out. I think he'll be progressively better. It all depends. I mean, pitchers and catchers report here soon. So,
yeah.
I mean, we're only a matter of weeks of finding out what exactly.
Both of them could definitely turn around their contracts, but I think it just highlights the importance of making smart decisions moving forward because they've got all these players that are finally hitting arbitration. They've got to be really smart about who they decide to lock up. And honestly, I know you guys have probably seen me talk about this. I think the number one priority for Atlanta right now is on Justin Simmons, just because you know what you're going to get with him. He doesn't have the injury issues that Hayward has. Obviously, he doesn't bring as much to the table offensively either, but he's arguably the best shortstop in baseball. And as far as projecting him defensively goes, he's only going to get better. And I think he's about as safe a bet as you can get with the team right now. It's just a question of does he want to get a contract extension and stay with Atlanta, or at least buy out his arbitration years, which would be kind of nice for the Braves. But obviously that's a little bit further down the road.
I completely agree with you on that. Honestly, I think he's the most valuable player on the Braves. He covers so many holes defensively at third base and second base, which would allow the Braves to, you know, sign somebody who maybe lacks defensively but has a nice bat. And so without him covering shortstop right there, there's so many holes in the Braves' defense that it's a completely different team. But going back to Craig Kimbrel for a second, this might rub some people the wrong way, but honestly, I am in the crowd that thinks the Braves should trade him right now.
For what?
Well, here's the deal. We're talking about how that all these players' contracts are coming up and how that they're going to have to be spending money to re-sign them. And out of all these players, he's the one that has the least impact on the game.
He's the he has the least impact on the game.
I think that's a fair point. I think Kimbrel, it's a lot of money to pay Kimbrel when he's only pitching 70 innings a year. And obviously he's clearly the best player at his position. I don't know. I think Simmons also could be the best player of his position. But Kimbrel obviously is the best player in the game. But can the Braves afford to pay him $9 million this year and then $13 million next year? Can they afford to put that money in a guy who's coming in to pitch one inning a game, especially when Wren has been known to get really cost-efficient players to have really good success in the bullpen lately?
I mean, once he gets up to $15 million a year, that's, you know, Braves have about $100 million payroll. You're talking about 15% of your payroll on your closer. And there's some statistics I've read that show that if you just get to the ninth inning with the lead, one-run lead, regardless of who closes, you're going to win that about, I think it was 86% of the time or something like that. Two-run is like 90-some-odd percent, and then three-run lead is like 95 or 98%. Just make it to the ninth inning with the lead. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have a lockdown closer. And honestly, having someone like Craig Kimbrel, you want to use him in the highest leverage situation of the game, not necessarily a safe situation. And the Braves
don't use him properly like that.
But at the same time, it's like you want that security blanket. Like, if, you know, as a Braves fan, I want Kimbrel coming in to shut it down. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's one run, two runs, or three runs. Just come in, get the job done, and that way I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, okay, no one doesn't want that, but I mean, I guess you just have to think about where you need to put your money. I mean, would you rather have Craig Kimbrel and then let both Freeman and Hayward sign with other teams because you can't afford to lock up all three, or would you rather get one of those guys that's going to be out there playing every day, playing nine innings?
I mean, if we don't have the luxury of
just throwing out millions of dollars like the Yankees and the Dodgers and all these teams with their new TV deals are doing. I mean, they just can't do that. So,
well, I mean, if you're going to put it in that terms, then obviously I'm going to have to take Freeman over everybody. But just trying to scroll through the closer, or the people that are in the Braves bullpen now, just trying to scroll through them and think, like, who would close in the ninth inning that could bring as much fear in the ninth inning as Kimbrel is hard for me. You know,
yeah. Jordan Walden.
He's definitely the thing. He can fill the role, but
I think I'll pass on that.
We can go to we can look at Papelbon's numbers. I actually looked it up, Eric, and Papelbon, he only got 6.25, I think it is. Here we go. 6.25 in his first arbitration eligible season. And the Braves are offering Kimbrel 6.55. So it's a little bit more than Papelbon got, but I don't think it's enough. I think they should have at least gone to 7, and I think they would have had a much better chance of winning because Kimbrel and his agent went so high. I think if they would have gone to 7, they would have had a decent chance of winning. But I mean, who knows?
I agree. Yeah, if they went up to like 7 or at least like 6.75 or something. I think Kimbrel's going to kill himself, though, because $9 million is a lot for a first arbitration guy.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see.
Be almost $3 million over the record? I mean, geez Louise.
But Mariano Rivera made, like, what, $15 million last year?
Yeah, well, that's different. I mean, so, he's been in the league for years. This is his first year at arbitration.
But with what they've been doing recently, as far as comparatively their stats, that's who matches up best.
Yeah, but in baseball, and, they don't give contracts based on past performance. I mean, you've been in the league a while. You've been making money. Yeah. You're not going to make less money the next time you sign a contract.
Right, but what I'm saying, though, if arbitration first time around, you get like 40% or 60%, something like that, of your market value, then his value roughly being around Rivera's, I don't know, $7.5 million sounds about right.
Well, they're not going to split, so it's either going to be 9 or 6.25. So
I know, and I'm,
I don't know.
With it being the Braves being under, I almost think they give him the 9. I don't know.
Well, we'll see.
That's setting a big precedent.
That is a pretty huge precedent. I guess I agree with you, comments though, Drew.
I would definitely look at trading Kimbrel. I mean, you have to in the Braves situation. It's just a lot of money. You know, when you're going to spend a tenth of your payroll on your closer, like you said, a guy that pitched 70, 80 innings, and I would say, honestly, out of that, how many is he really pitching in a one-run game where having him is going to make a huge difference over somebody else? I mean, I'm sure a lot of his saves are 2 and 3 runs. You're probably talking about 20 to 25, 30 innings maybe during the whole season where he's going to pitch in a very dire situation, like a one lead, something like that. That's just a lot of money to spend. For a team that's strapped like the Braves are going to be going forward.
Plus, if you type that money in him and you don't have the money to get players to get you the lead going into the ninth inning, he might not have as many save opportunities anyways, so it might not even matter.
Yeah, if the rest of your team's not good enough to get the lead, then the closer doesn't really matter.
Speaking of a lot of money, today Freddy Garcia signed a minor league contract with the team for a whopping $1.25 million.
We need more guys on this team. We need more guys on that team.
Pitch.
I guess, what are your thoughts on this deal? Obviously, it's a low risk, but just Freddy Garcia, what's he bring to the table?
He said it clearly in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a depth move.
Definitely.
I did see one tweet today, and I can't remember who said it, but they said he kind of thought that he would make the club out of spring training, which I thought was a little odd, but
if they move
Alec to the pen so that Garcia can be the fifth starter, that's not good, but really stash him down in AAA and use him for depth. And if he walks, he walks. I don't think it's a huge loss. I mean, it's good to have the backup, but you know, Gavin Floyd will return from injury eventually, and I think we'll be good to go. It's good. I mean, there's nothing negative about it, really.
Yeah, there's no. And I think he made it known he didn't really want to pitch in the minors, and he's got an opt-out clause in the contract where if he's not on the MLB roster on March 25th, then he can become a free agent. And he's also got some incentives based on starts and early appearances made in the majors. Do you guys think that he'll be with the big league club early, or do you think he's going to walk when March 25th comes in? How long do you think he'll be here?
It's a good question.
I think that's kind of hard to tell at this point, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's got a lot of factors.
Yeah, interesting.
You know, when you look at our
training, so.
Yeah, you look at our pen, and right now the only lefty we got out there is Avalon. The only lefty, I guess, with any experience until Venters gets back. And who knows what Venters is going to be like when he gets back. And, you know, they would move Wood to the pen to be the second lefty. I mean, I think that's a little extreme to lose a promising young starter to be the second lefty in the bullpen.
Yeah, I agree with
that.
That
doesn't seem like a very fair trade-off. You know, there's a couple of guys, too, that will come into camp, namely Ryan Butcher, that I think really could make the bullpen out of spring training. He was dominant. I mean, I know he was a little old for AAA, but he was dominant in AAA last year, especially against lefties. I think he'll get a good shot to make the club out of spring training, hopefully as a second lefty. So we'll see. I think the longer Freddy Garcia stays in AAA or with another team is better news for the Braves.
All right. Yeah, and I guess going off your left-hand relievers, Eric O'Flaherty recently signed with the Athletics a 2-year, $7 million deal with Oakland. And I guess he made it known before he had signed that he didn't want to leave Atlanta. He was only going to leave if another team blew away the Braves' offer. And it looks like the second year that the Athletics tacked onto that deal was what did it for him. Atlanta only offered 1 year. Do you guys think that it would have been worth it to bring EOF back for $7 million for 2 years, or do you think it was a good idea for the Braves' brass to let him walk?
What was the cash the Braves offered him on the 1 year?
I'm not sure.
I don't know what they ever said.
I don't know. They wouldn't announce it if he didn't accept it, but, I mean, obviously, we probably could have him for a little bit cheaper, not a ton. But I think the second year is really the deciding factor because he's coming off that injury. I mean, I think it's $7 million for 2 years. I think that's probably a bit much with the risk added in and with Wren just making bullpens appear out of nothing. I was fine with Braves not offering that. I think we'll be all right. Like you said, we always find some guy that no one's ever heard of. And I guess we've really just been spoiled with our bullpen the past few years to the point where I don't even worry about it. But I guess we'll have to see what happens this year.
Yeah, I mean, they basically, it was between EOF and Venters. And Venters, while not, nobody really knows what's going to happen, he was the much cheaper option. And he took the 1 year deal also. So, you know, they saved a lot of money there for what could be as good or better than O'Flaherty, or he could totally tank. I mean, it's a mystery coming back from a second Tommy John. Who knows what he's going to do or even when he's going to be available to do it. But I think it was a better risk on the Braves' part.
Definitely agreed. And really, when we're talking about all these, just all these topics together, it really puts an emphasis on where the Braves are headed. I mean, everything they're doing is with the idea of saving money in mind. And they just can't. I mean, this offseason has been a huge disappointment for some people, especially after, I mean, the past few years we've been spending these big bucks out of nowhere. And I think people are a little disappointed they forgot what the Braves used to be like, I guess, before they signed Derek Lowe a while ago. I mean, they just can't spend the money anymore. So that's probably what we're going to have to get used to.
Yeah, if you look back at some older teams, Braves' payroll is basically the same as it was 10 years ago. I mean, it hasn't changed at all.
Yep. I guess to finish this off, we could talk about the Braves' new stadium. We haven't talked about this in a podcast before. We've written about it on the site. Today, the Braves, well, they didn't announce, but the ADC reported that the Braves were planning to purchase the land for the development of their new stadium. $34.2 million for the 57.1 acres. And they're going to buy it and put it on there as well as, like, I guess some restaurants and just some stuff to do, try to make it more interesting for the people who come watch the games. Do you guys think that'll have a big enough impact on attendance to make any difference in the money that they've got coming in, or do you think this is just them trying to just stay alive with the new contract they have?
I think it's actually a pretty good move. I mean, The time that I went down there, there wasn't anything around. And anybody who goes to a Braves game all the time knows that there's pretty much nothing to do outside of Turner Field. So I think if you bring those restaurants, it's going to bring jobs, it's going to bring income, and it's going to create, you know, a sort of revenue. I'm obviously not from around there, so I don't know the lay of the land in Cobb County. But, I mean, you know, it has to do with something with MARTA. If you can create a way up there to get people there on time, ready for the game, you know, reduce the traffic. I feel like it could happen. I mean, this is an absolute surefire way for it to either work or just be a complete bust.
I don't know. I don't think it'll be a huge bust, regardless, because they're moving closer towards the people who are actually buying their tickets. I mean, that map they put up when they launched their new site showed they were going towards the people that are purchasing their tickets. But the MARTA point you mentioned, yeah, I think that's huge, because they already had so many problems with the MARTA line. There's not a stop at Turner Field. I mean, that's how a lot of people get around in Atlanta. Obviously, I'm not from the area either. It'd be nice to have Brad Rowland out here to speak to that. But, yeah, I think I agree exactly with what you said. It'd be great if they could get the MARTA line and all the new things they're trying to have around the stadium would just make the game experience much better.
And not only that, you could also it's also, like, be a weekend out of it. You know, obviously, I'm not, like I said, I'm not from around there. I would want to, you know, if there's hotels around there, I could stay in that hotel that's close to Turner Field, hit all those restaurants and bars, go to the game, come back, hit those bars again, stay in that hotel, boom, I'm a slump, I'm an economic slump buster, just one person.
Yep. That's classic. Oh, goodness.
Okay. We're at the man. Yeah, I agree, though. Yeah, it's zero negative that I can see about it.
Yeah.
You know, I've been down to Turner Field multiple times. I haven't been the last few years, but, I mean, there's nothing really that nice about Turner Field. I mean, it was, I guess, nicer because it was newer, but, you know, the stadium wasn't built as a baseball stadium. It was built as the Olympic, you know, stadium, and it just, it's not, it wasn't ugly. It just, not, there was nothing that
just
stood
kind
out.
Of about normal.
It. Nothing
kind of
very memorable about it at all. The surroundings were awful. The parking was awful. There was no really great way to get to the games. I think it's going to be cool with the new stadium and having amenities around it, you know, going to a bar before or after the game or going to get something to eat, even good for kids, too. So I can't see anything negative about it.
Yep, I'd have to agree.
I think...
All right. Oh, go ahead, Drew. Sorry.
I think in regards to the new stadium, there's several things, several factors involved. Of course, as we mentioned, the revenue streams that the Braves could have from the owning the areas with the new restaurants.
Oh, I don't know. Are they going to own those new restaurants, or are they?
They're
going to
own the
having...
property that it's on, so they'll be charging
I mean,
they rent.
The property. I'm sure they're going to own the building it's in, or something, and can charge them rent, or
yeah.
I mean, they'll have to have some kind of ownership stake. I never really thought about that. That's a good point, though.
But they'll be making revenue from that. Also, parking in that area, they'll be making revenue from, whereas currently in Turner Field, the city of Atlanta gets most of, or Fort Wayne County, one of the two, gets most of that money. And so also, like we mentioned, the moving closer to the target market of the most of the fans who are buying the tickets, so they could more frequently go to games. So there's a lot of things going on.
That was the biggest thing in my mind, is that they're just moving towards their fans, and they're moving out of Atlanta, but more people outside of Atlanta were coming to the game. So the only people really, the only people that have really been, that have really seen as being upset at this are the people who are Braves fans that are in Atlanta, and they're going to have to drive a little bit longer. It's going to take them a little bit longer to get to this stadium. So
well, it's not really out of Atlanta.
Well, one thing about that,
it's right there.
It is pretty much right there.
Out of the city limits.
The OTP and the ITP and all that other. Whatever those people talk about, it's stupid. But the only people that are really mad about it are the people that live near where it was now, so it's inconvenient for them to go to the new one. That's really the only people that are mad about it.
Yep.
The one concern about that area is that rush hour traffic around that area is normally pretty heavy. So when we've got a 7 o'clock game, people are getting off at work at 5 or so, Atlanta traffic gets crazy. That's the only...
Where is Atlanta traffic not heavy?
I have heard the traffic is bad, but like you said, the traffic is going to be bad anywhere. So.
But it's worse than normal at that spot, I think.
Well, something. I mean, they got a couple years. They're not just going to put it there and say, oh, well, get to the game. Good luck. You know, if they want people to go, they'll make it easy to go, in my opinion.
Right, I agree.
It's funny to have it sit there empty.
All right, anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap this puppy up?
Final thought, I'll say Kentucky 75, Georgia 66 tomorrow.
Oh, predictions for the game. Wow. Well, I don't care about that, so. Thanks for listening to the podcast, everyone. It was fun. We're going to try to do them more often. Hopefully we can get Brad Rowland in here and a couple of the newbies. If you haven't heard or seen, we've got some new writers on the site, so be sure to check that out. And our Braves coverage will be climbing up steadily as we move closer to spring training. So y'all have a good one.